Welcome to Bible Greek VPod's audio program. Join us as we look at 1 Samuel.
Father God, thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word at lunch. And so be with us and bless us in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We are in 1 Samuel chapter 23, and David is he's on the move. He's fleeing for his life from Israel's first king, Saul. And we saw Saul had all the priests of Nob killed, 85 priests in total. Then he had the whole town, all the people of the city were killed. So we kick off today in chapter 23, verse 1, and let me start there. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing at the threshing floors." So who are the they here, spoken of here, when it says, when they, then they told David. The they here is David's troop. That's David's 400 men who were in distress. They were in doubt. They were discontented with Saul, so they came to David's side. Remember, the Philistines are attacking the town of Keilah, which means fortress, and the city is in Judah, and it's on the border of the Philistines. It's close to the Philistine border. It's about 20 miles away from Gath. Remember, Gath is a major Philistine city, one of the five major Philistine cities. And so they're stealing their food. They're stealing everything on their threshing floor. Look at verse 2. "Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah.'" So David is fighting for Israel. That's the amazing point here. David is fighting for Israel. He's acting like the king. While Saul is occupied with killing David, David's thinking about the territory. That's what a king should be doing. But Saul is not doing that, and David is. But notice David, he inquires of the Lord. That's where he goes first. He inquires of the Lord concerning this. And then verse 3, "But David's men said to him, 'Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?'" So they're poor. They seem to be saying, "Hey, you know, come look at us. You know, we're poor, we're destitute, we're the distressed. We're not an army. How can we take on the greatest army of Canaan, the Philistines?" Look at verse 4. "Then David inquired of the Lord once again." So there he is again. He's going before the Lord. "And the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand.' And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." Remember, the Philistines, they have metal chariots, and so that's their battle advantage, one of their battle advantages. But this battle is in the hills, so they can't take their chariots. So, but they do take cattle to feed the troops who are fighting as they travel up this hill to the fortress. Keilah means fortress, remember, so it's up on a hill. And so they're foot soldiers, and they have to do it the old-fashioned way by foot, and they go up there, and they have to bring the cattle to keep the troops fed, because it could be a long battle. So David and his men, they capture the cattle and the camp of the Philistines, and then the Philistines flee back across the border. Look at verse 6. "Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand." So what is an ephod? Ephod is that priestly garment, outer garment. It contains the 12 stones, the 12 tribes' stones, and the most important is that Urim and Thummim. And they're used to inquire of the Lord. And so they ask the Lord, and in turn, this Urim and Thummim will turn, will give an answer to a question. And so that's what he's doing. So here's this priest, and he's with David and his troop. And he grabs his ephod in his hand, and he goes. Look at verse 7. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. So what a picture we have here. We have Saul, and he's only going to come to town if David is there to be killed. That's the only way he's coming to town. David goes, and he's rescuing this town. But so Saul hears about it, and he's going to go to that town, but he's there to kill David. He's not there to rescue the town. He's not to be king. He's just to be an avenger.
To remain king.
They're protected his position. Look at verse 9. Then David knew that Saul plotted evil against him and said to Abiathar, the priest, bring the ephod here. Okay, so now we see the workings of an ephod. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? That's his question to the Lord, using this ephod of the priest. So will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord, give to Israel, O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. So notice the use of this ephod. It's a simple question. Usually it's a yes or no type of question, or it may be a this or that type of question, but there are two items on this breastplate of the priest, and it does something, whatever it does, to let them know the answer. And the answer is obviously Saul. Yes, Saul is coming down with his men to deliver you, and his men will these men will deliver you to Saul. So look at verse 12. Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver you." So there's the answer. Verse 13. So David and his men, about 600. Remember, he started out with 400, now he grew to 600. They arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. Notice where he moves to. Verse 14. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness, and remained in the mountains, in the wilderness of Zeph. Saul sought him every day. Look at that. Saul's seeking him every day. He's man. But God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Zeph in the forest. Zeph here is the Hebrew for battlement. And so David is in these mountains. He's high up in the mountains. And that's deep in the woods, you might say. And that's his home ground. Look at verse 13. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. Look at that. He strengthened his hand by giving David information. Remember, Saul's son Jonathan still loves David very much, and he knows what's right. Jonathan's a man of God. He knows what's right. Verse 17, and he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel." Look at that. He trusts God. He trusts what God said way back when. "You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." So everybody knows that. God told him that long ago. But this is quite the statement. What a statement this is. Jonathan believes God way back, and he still believes him, that he's going to be king. Verse 18, "So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house." So they make another covenant. They had made a covenant before, and so here it is again making a covenant. And it doesn't say what kind of covenant this is, but it's kind of a brotherhood. You get the idea. It's kind of a brotherhood. I'm with you. I have your back. Verse 19. "Then the Zophites came up to Saul at Gibeath, saying, 'Is David not hiding with us in strongholds in the woods in the hill of Hachulah, which is on the south of Jesom?'" These Zephites are they're really descendants of Judah, so that and that's David's tribe, but this is David's kind of territory. This is territory of Judah, and he's hiding out in his familiar territory. That's his mountain range. That's his territory, but they want to get rid of him. He may be distant cousin. Distant relative, but they want to get rid of this problem, and the problem is David, and they don't want Saul to do to their town what Saul does to the priestly town that they heard about last time. And so they want to give him over to the king. So they tell Saul, "David is up there in those dark hills, up in the dark hills." Verse 20, "Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." This is like what was asked, what David asked. "Would they deliver me?" And the Lord said yes. So the Hebrew is kind of more descriptive than the English here, the idea to deliver. "Now therefore, the king, come down according to all the desire of his soul. And our part shall be to deliver him." See that word deliver there? That's the Hebrew means to encircle. Deliver by encircling. To shut him in. To shut him in is the literal Hebrew. But it's translated to deliver because you get the idea. They are delivering by shutting him in as they circle the mountain. And he has no place to go. He's hiding up in the mountain, and they're going to encircle him. Verse 21, "And Saul said, 'Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure and see the place where his hideout is and who has seen him there. For I am told he is very crafty.'" Uh-oh. "See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places," those lurking places, "where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah," all the people. So better to turn David in than to have your town and your people destroyed. Look at verse 24. "So they arose and they went to Zeph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain of the south of Jeshon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David therefore, he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon." So he is really pursuing him with a vengeance, and they're getting close. The wilderness of Maon here is north just a few miles, of where they were, and David is using his hometown mountain to escape. But 600 men are hard to hide, and it's easy to spot them. But as they move around this wilderness, they're occasionally seen and they're spotted, and you get the picture. They're up here in this wilderness. And then verse 26, then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul. For Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger, look at this. This is just amazing to me. A messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land." Therefore, Saul returned. He did what? He returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called the place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in the strongholds of En-Gedi. So God works in mysterious ways. Previously, you know, you couldn't get Saul to protect this town that we started in this chapter. And so David goes and protects this town and subdues the Philistines, gets them to run back across the border. But now all of a sudden, this must be an important invasion. We're not told anything about this invasion, but what was so important about this invasion that it caused Saul at the cusp of getting David to stop his pursuit and go chase after the Philistines, which he, you know, they've invaded the land. That's all the information we have here, and we don't have much else, and that just stopped him in his place. Mm-hmm. and he went and to protect whatever domain was important to him. But this region where David is, he lies near the Dead Sea. And if you have a map, you can see that he lies near the Dead Sea. And these mountains are part of the Dead Sea. And the Philistines are about 20 to 30 miles away. Their territory is now about 20 to 30 miles away. So David had traveled when he close to the Philistine territory when he took back the city of Keilah, and as he fled, he moved closer to his territory, which is 20 miles away. It's a good ways away, and so that's where he is now. But this occasion again caused David to write Psalm 54. So I want to turn to Psalm 54 and read that real quick because we have time. And these chapters are kind of small, so that they designed that so you could go back and read some of these psalms. We haven't been reading too many of these psalms, but Psalm 54 is the occasion of this writing here. So it says, Psalm 54, answered a prayer for deliverance from adversaries. That's the heading. And it says, to the chief musician, with stringed instruments, a composition of David when the Zephites, that's this incident, went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with us? So here's his song. It's very short, 7 verses. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. And Selah, to contemplate that, because they're brethren. They are kind of fellow Judites from the same tribe, but he calls them strangers. And he continues in verse 4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil, cut them off in their truth, in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. So David is celebrating the fact that here's this miracle of God where he sought the priest. The priest said, "Yep, they're going to turn you in." And then at the point of being captured, God in his omniscience, his all-powerful nature, brought in something that caused Saul to quit pursuing him and go chase after the Philistines. A last-minute rescue, if you will. And that was probably his last little statement there in verse 7, "For he delivered me out of all trouble." And all his trouble just left. He's still up in the mountains, still up in the wilderness, but his trouble, he was rescued that day. What a praise he wrote that day for God. All right, well, let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word and the historical context behind the Psalms. What a blessing it is to see your work in David. And so be with us. Help us understand your omniscience and your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.